Let us pray. Extravagant God, you have been rich toward us with many gifts. Of all the things you have abundantly provided for us, we become attached to many things. Help us to let go of them all and cling only to your love and grace. We seek you in your word, and we seek our own souls in your love. Open our hearts and help us be present for you, who are infinitely present for us. Amen. A reading from Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved them, and out of Egypt I called my child. The more I called them, the more they went from me. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. Oh, I want to send them back to the land of Egypt and make Assyria their king, because they have refused to return to me. Violence rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours them because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To a God they call the Most High, they cry, but he does not raise them up at all. But how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. The word of life. Please stand in body or spirit for the Psalter, Psalm 8, found on page 743 in the blue hymnal. Glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouth of babes and infants.
And great, O God, are thy things, maker of earth and sky.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Yet you have made them little less than God.
Many and great, O God, are thy things, maker of earth and sky.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. All sheep and oxen, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord,
many and great, O God, are thy things, maker of
reading from Colossians. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds at a higher level on essential things, not on meaningless details. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Christ in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is self-centered, grasping for what is not yours, betraying your true nature, being controlled by selfish passions and desires and greed, which is idolatry. God's fierce desire for change burns in us when we live by these energies. These are ways we all once followed when we were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off your old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with a new self, which has a whole new frame of mind, reflecting the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, native and immigrant, superior and inferior, but Christ is all and in all. The Word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living Word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's Gospel in the 12th chapter. Somebody in the crowd called out to Jesus, "Teacher, make my brother divide our family inheritance with me." And Jesus said, "Friend, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And then he said to everybody, "Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich farmer produced abundantly. And the farmer said, "Well, now what am I going to do? I have so many crops, I don't have a place to store them. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build new barns, and there will be enough room to store all the crops and all of my goods." And God said, "Oh, that's foolish. Because tonight, your life will be taken from you. And all that stuff, whose will it be? So also, it is with all those who store up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What makes a life worthwhile? Hear a lot of stories about crime and addiction and awful things and terrorism and suicide bombers and mass shooters, and you keep hearing this phrase, wasted life. So what makes a life worthwhile? That question that the psalm asks, it doesn't really answer. So what are human beings, God, that you are so mindful of us? What is it about us that makes us worthwhile? Well, the first wrong answer is money. Jesus crosses that off the list right away. There's this parable about this rich farmer, and all the money in the world won't give your life meaning. It won't give your life life. Now, we know that. There are people out there who spend their lives making money. They've made millions of dollars, and that's pretty much the only thing they've accomplished in life, is that they've made a lot of money. And we can tell that that's stupid. Jesus says, that was a waste of time. That was dumb. For most of us, that's not the issue, because most of us... Let me make sure here. I'm going to actually do a little fact-checking here. According to Snopes, none of us... I just looked. There's nobody in this room who set out to make millions of dollars. So what does that parable mean for us? If it's not money, what is it that makes our lives worthwhile? I'm aware that Jesus says, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Maybe all kinds of things that we cling to. If it's not money, maybe the next quickest answer is our accomplishments. That's what makes our lives worthwhile. You know, that's what goes into our obituary. It's the stuff we've done. You know, that's easy for me to say because I'm a white, middle-class, able-bodied, straight, well-educated male. So accomplishments come easy for me because I've got all these resources that are given to me that some people don't have. Some people don't have a life in which they are enabled to have accomplishments. They just survive. What about them? Is their life worthwhile? Well, we could go off and cross a whole lot of things off the list, but let's just go down to the bottom of the list. I'm thinking about Oliver. Oliver is our new grandson. He's just short of 2 months old. Oliver not only has no possessions, but can't even hang on to a possession if he did have one. He can't hold a spoon yet. He's not even 2 months old. All he can do is this. And this weird little thing. The only accomplishment that he can achieve is that he can nurse, spit up, fill a diaper, and fuss. Right? Other than just kind of go like this. He doesn't own anything. He hasn't accomplished anything. He can't do anything. He doesn't even have any personality yet. What makes his life worthwhile? I love him. That's what. Period. I really don't care about anything else. I don't care if he ever has any possessions or makes any great accomplishments. I just love him. His parents just love him. Beth just loves him. His Uncle John just loves him. That's all. What makes your life worthwhile is not in your hands. It's totally out of your control. What makes your life worthwhile is that God loves you and is present for you. The divine presence in your life makes it worthwhile. You are part of God. That's kind of hard for some people to swallow because we're taught to think that I'm here and God is there, that I'm like this and God is like that, and we're wholly other. But the church has said for 2,000 years, you are a part of God. You are a member of the body of Christ, the physical presence of the eternal love of God. You're part of that. That's what makes your life worthwhile. You can throw it away, but you can't make it not true. You can forget that. You can ignore that. But you can't stop it from being. What makes your life worthwhile is God's infinite loving presence immediately for you, every moment. When you believe that, when you trust that, you see life in a very peculiar way. When you know that, you realize how rich God has been toward you. Not just generous, not even just extravagant, but filthy rich toward you. God has given you all of creation that's fed and nourished you. God's given you all of these skills and characteristics and things that are hidden in your DNA. God has given you families that have raised you up and loved you, and communities that have brought you to this day, and food that's helped you survive, and health that's managed sometimes just barely, but here you are. All of that is God's richness toward you. And because God is infinitely present in your life for you every moment, you know this, that it will never stop. You can't exhaust it. You're not a bucket with a certain amount of water in it. You are a hose hooked up to the infinite love of God. And it's God who turns on the faucet. And that love flows through you, and it will not run out. It's infinite. And because of that, you know that you can afford to be rich toward the world as a way of being rich toward God. I bet Kathy wants her granddaughters to come visit her. But you know what? It's not up to the girls. Mom and Dad have to decide that they're going to come all the way from Seattle out to Massachusetts to see Grandma. But Mom and Dad can be rich to Grandma by letting those gifts be given. You have all of this divine presence in you, and God needs those gifts for the world. And you can give God a gift by giving those gifts to the world. Later on this fall, that whole thing is what we're going to be talking about when we use that word that everybody always tenses up around the shoulders about, the word stewardship, pledging. When the church starts talking about money, we're not talking about money. We're talking about the richness of God and how we live in that richness. And if you want to, you can store up all that richness for yourself. And it will sit there. And then that question is asked that Jesus asked at the end of the parable when God says, so tonight you die and all that stuff, whose is it going to be? You've got all this love, so whose is it going to be? You've got all this money, whose is it going to be? You've got all this prayer, whose is it going to be? We can live richly toward God by living richly toward the world, knowing that that richness is our gift to God. Your life, it's God's gift to you. The whole thing is a gift. Your life is your gift to God. Dare to be rich toward God. And trust that God will be filthy rich toward you. The God who every moment holds you and says, oh goody. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your loving, infinite presence for us. Help us to root ourselves in this love. God of grace, you are the loving parent who raises us up, and we are the rebellious children who run away. But still you gather us in. Still we are part of your love. So we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.